Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem, and if you'd like to join us, this is a car show. What we do is we talk about cars here, and you're more than welcome to join us. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. For those of you that are interested, oh, I should introduce you.
Oh,
hi, what's
thank
your
you.
Name?
Mrs. Salem. No, my name is Renee.
Okay. Well, Renee's flying wingman for me today. She's your job is to hear to make me behave.
Well, yeah, but I am not very successful most days.
Yeah, I know. And Gil is only successful if he pushes this right button.
Yeah.
And then I go away.
Dumps you away. Yeah. That's right.
Well, speaking
of... Where is that dumb button? I need that.
Yeah,
over here.
Yeah. You just grab my headset off my face and then start beating on the mic, and Gil will know we're fighting.
That's right.
All righty. Automatic Transmission Exchange has been in Phoenix since 1968. Phil and his staff, they're really good at what they do. But because they've been around such a long time, they understand the fundamentals of what needs to happen. We used to do it with vacuum and throttle pressure and speed and all that kind of jazz. Today we do it with all the electronics. But what you do is the same as it was before. It didn't change any. It's just we're using a different way to accomplish the same goal. So they're at 40th Street in Washington. They've been around a long time. So if you've driven down Washington every day on your way to work, you'll see them on the north side of Washington at 40th Street. Automatic Transmission Exchange.
Got something stuck in your throat
today.
I don't
know. You know, I've been talking all morning long, so I really don't know what the heck it is. Yeah. Oh, okay. They are constantly moving the tire issue. 602-508-0960. The tire issue used to be there is no expiration. And
right.
Then they talked about 10 years. Then they talked about, well, you can do whatever you want. Then they have a different one for RVs. So you have all these moving targets, but I did get, somebody sent me the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, their analysis of data, and it's kind of important. There was a big trend in the scrap pile of tires in a variety of states, Arizona, California, excuse me, Florida, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, Oregon, and Illinois, okay? They made it. They said studies showed after the 4 years, the rate of tire damage was significantly greater in Arizona, and then in every case, tires from those states, all of those other states, and Arizona, with higher average ambient temperatures, had higher rates than states with lower average ambient temperatures.
So they did some states with high temperatures and low temperatures.
Well, and I'm not quite sure how they picked those.
Yeah.
But I think I've said all along that from Southern California to Florida on Interstate 10 is the hot belt.
Right.
There's nothing else like Interstate 10. Mm-hmm. And you go across Texas, what is it, 895 miles or something like that?
A long way, yeah.
And not only that is the Texas highways aren't that pretty to ride on. Remember when we used to go through there and you'd hit a pothole and you'd jump a zip code.
Yeah.
They were kind of tough. And it's important for people to understand that there's two air inflation numbers. There's one on the door and then there's one on the tire. The tire, you'll have to look for it, but it says maximum load and then it'll say 79 kg or / 2,500. That tire can carry 2,500 pounds. It's important to know that the 2,500 pounds to get there, you have to inflate it to the maximum inflation. So, on the same line, it says maximum load 2,500 at 35 PSI. Now, your door may say that they want you to run them at 32 or 30.
Right.
That's to carry the load of that corner of the car. Mark Salem says there's no harm, none what's, and we do it on all of our cars.
Mm-hmm.
To bring the inflation up to what the tire says.
Right.
Now,
it's a little bit rougher ride, but
it's hard for people to notice that when you're moving them 3 or 4 or 5 pounds of pressure.
Yeah.
It's just hard. But think about it. You hit a pothole,
mm-hmm.
a flat tire, let's just talk about a flat tire, a tire real low on inflation. More than likely, it's going to cut itself because the tire is going to collapse. It's going to pinch the tire against the rim and cut the tire, the mm-hmm. sidewall of the tire. A tire that's at 30 pounds is going to go through it a little soft. And it's kind of like a bicycle tire. Do you want to go through a huge crack in the pavement, do you want to go through with a fully inflated front tire or a tire that's half flat?
Yeah.
There's a difference on how it's going to go through. Mm-hmm. So I'm an advocate of whatever the tire says, you go to that maximum inflation. In Arizona, clearly in Arizona, we got a problem. And I think it has to do with where we inflate our tires and how well we keep them up. Mm-hmm. That has a lot to do with it. Mm-hmm. So I'm suggesting, and then ambient temperatures. People would be interested in knowing what you and I do at a gas station.
Yeah.
Other than you go get a six-pack of beer for you and a Coke.
So funny.
Okay, so let's tell them what we do. Let's say we're hauling horses to New Mexico.
Kay. Okay.
I stop for fuel. Mm-hmm. What do I do?
Fill up the gas tank. No, you get out the that gun.
Temperature gun.
I couldn't think of what it was called.
And I hand it to you.
Yep.
And what's your job?
And I go around and I check all the tires, kind of in the middle of the tread almost.
You can do that or the crown, where the tread meets the sidewall.
Yeah.
Okay. Either place is fine. So, but you have to do it on the same on all the tires.
Right. And so I go around to all the four tires of the trailer, usually, mm-hmm. and because we're more worried about that, and make sure that all the temperatures are pretty similar.
Okay. The tire comes apart north of 170,
okay.
somewhere around there. What's the highest we've ever seen? And hauling horses, hauling hay, hauling tractors on the big truck.
Yeah, I think the last time I saw it at 120 some or something like that.
And I saw one at 145. If you remember, I was hauling a tractor down to the valley, and I had the big truck.
Mm-hmm.
And it has eight tires on it, so you know it holds a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And I noticed that I had a vibration that came, and I stopped at Orange Point, and I had a tire that was like 180. Mm-hmm. And I knew that tire was coming apart.
Right.
And so for whatever reason, I'm not going to save it. Well, I sure as heck didn't want to change that tire.
Yep.
And I'm not quite sure I even have enough equipment. I have to unload the tractor, lift the trailer up.
Yeah, that wouldn't have been fun.
Yeah, it would have been. So I figured I'd just run for Phoenix, but at 45 miles an hour with my flashers on.
Okay.
And I made it.
Okay.
So I was happy about that I didn't have to deal with it. But most of the time, we're in the 120 to 140 range, or mm-hmm. let's do this, 100 to 140.
Yeah.
Easy. Now, there was a time where we were going south on 10.
Yes, I know exactly what you're going to say.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, one side of the trailer was, I don't know, 20 degrees hotter, the two tires, than the other side. And didn't understand that, but like you said.
I didn't understand it either.
Because you're the car guru. You knew what it was.
No.
You said just because the sun is hitting on that side of the trailer.
I know, but that was after we tested the tires.
Okay.
And that was, we were still southbound going to Tucson in that particular period of time. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand it until we turned east at Tucson and headed east on the 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then it occurred to me, now the back of the trailer is facing the sun.
Yes.
And I know that our horses hadn't gained that much weight.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference, what got our attention is we had a 15-20 degree difference between the right side and the left side.
Right.
But we quickly determined that it was because of the sun.
Right.
And I tell the story and I give a clue. I say, we're leaving 5, 6 in the evening. It's a summertime, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's true.
Yeah.
But the riddle is the sun's on that side of the trailer.
Right. And the other thing is, I know that, like, Alan does a lot of tires, obviously. And
our
he
son.
Puts different sizes on vehicles. Mm-hmm. And he'll put a little sticker inside the door as well that tells what your inflation should be with these new tires or different tires. Because it's not always the same as the door sticker.
You're right. Our software allows us to put a new sticker on your door.
Mm-hmm.
And we've modified it. And we have a computer that tells us what those numbers are.
Right.
Okay. So we're hauling 20 bales of hay in the red trailer the other day.
Okay. Yes.
I'm bringing it up.
Right.
For the horses. And Manny loads it onto the trailer, and we get exactly 20 bales. I don't even know how he did that, but he did a good job.
Okay.
So I'm walking around the tires. The trailer, each bale is 100 pounds.
Okay.
That's 2,000 pounds of hay.
Okay.
What should the tires hold?
1,000 each, at least.
Yeah, at least. But I looked at them, and they were 2,300, so that's 46 an axle. So we're talking 9,000 pounds of tires underneath 2,000 pounds of hay.
Right, so okay? You were good.
I was real good. The only problem is that it was grass hay, and it blows off the bale easy. It's basically their baled up Bermuda grass is what it really is.
So you are leaving a trail of grass.
Well,
on your way.
there was times it was it you could tell grass was blowing off the hay. And then people would pass you and you'd see that stuck in their windshield wiper was a couple pieces of hay. What can you do? And the key word is they passed me.
Okay.
I wasn't passing them, they were passing me.
That's amazing in itself.
Shh,
2 minutes.
It's time. I'll tell you when it's time to talk. So those are the things we do. And here's the benefit, guys. You go to Harbor Freight and you buy a temperature gun. While you're filling up the car truck and you're washing the windshield, your wife walks around to all the tires. Now, you led them to believe you just checked the tires on the trailer, but you do all the tires.
Yes, I do.
And so we got six on the dually and we got four on the other one. So you're doing 10 tires. So you have a real good example. Now, there was a time where I hauled horses and I had the front tires of the trailer were 30 pounds hotter than the back tires of the trailer.
30 degrees hotter.
30 yes. degrees hotter, yeah.
Because the way the horses were loaded.
Exactly. I had the big fat ones up front, mm-hmm. and I had the small ones in the back. Mm-hmm. Now, that's no big deal. You unload them, you put the small ones in the front, and you put the bigger ones in the back. Or I could have, but I didn't have the right tools, I could have raised the hitch.
Mm-hmm.
And if I raised the hitch and bring the nose of the trailer up a little bit, it would have spread the load to both axles.
Yeah.
So if you think of the front of the trailer's got a little droop to it, and you put horses in there, those front tires, the front axle, those tires are gonna take a little bit more heat. So all these dynamics go into tires. Now, here's the final.
Okay.
How many times have we had, other than those damn Goodyear G159s back in the 90s that were blowing off the motorhome right and left, of all the traveling we've done, have we had any, with the exception of that tire that came or was coming apart for me, have we had any tire problems?
No, I really can't remember ever having a tire issue. Knock on wood, because now I'll have one.
Yeah, but at the same time, we've been doing this for more than 5 years with the temperature gun
mm-hmm.
and your job. Now, guys, you're not going to get your wife to use an air gauge if she's got fingernails that you pay to bank pretty.
See, most wives wouldn't get out and check that either, so you're pretty lucky.
Well, hey, all they're doing is pulling a trigger. They have this little device in their hands.
Just saying.
Okay, fine. And it's 6-8 inches away from the tire and they pull the trigger and they read the number. They pull the trigger and read the number. I mean, if your wife is going to stay in the truck and you're going to do all that yourself, I know a good... Never mind. I'm staying away from that.
It's time to take a break, isn't it?
602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Twenty minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, my name is Mark Salem and Renee's my wife sitting here next to me, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. If you'd like to join us, now's the time. The lines are wide open. Gil, our engineer, is running that part of the radio show, so he'll take your name and ask you briefly about what your question is, and you can just say tires, oil, you know, whatever, air conditioning or whatever. Just give him a quick clue, and then we'll get to you just as quickly as we can, 602-508-0960. I have a list of the best shops in Phoenix on my website, marksalem.com. This list started in 1988. We were first in the entire valley. And we were followed later by referral list after referral list after referral list, and many of them are gone. But we're still here, and it's real simple. I know the best shops in town. I know the owners. I know their wives if they work there. I know how long they've been in business. I know them, and I trust them. Here's my promise to you. When you go to one of my shops and you have a bad time, you have to file a nice, notice the word nice, complaint with the Better Business Bureau. They'll investigate the complaint. And then they'll say, the shop should pay you this, the shop should fix this, or there's no harm, no foul. If the shop refuses to do their part, I kick them off, and then up to $5,000, I'll pay to fix your car, or I'll do a refund. And I've never done that since 1988. We came close one time mm-hmm. where somebody was dragging their feet a little too long, and then we put a time frame around it, and everybody performed at the time frame. Mm-hmm. But that was as close as we came. We've not had any problem. To be honest with you, how many complaints do we get about one of our shops, let's say last year?
I can, two or three maybe. I don't know, just not that many.
And a lot of them I forward to the shop, and then the shop makes a contact back. There was a guy with some tire issues, mm-hmm. and then I wrote him back and said, are you okay, or mm-hmm. should, you know, do you want to further this, go further with it? And he said, no, I'm okay.
Yeah.
So a lot of times it's just a lack of communication.
Sure.
Larry Harker's Auto's been around since 1967. He's one of the longest shops I know of in the Valley. And we just talked about automatic transmission exchange, who started in 1968. So Harker's has been around a long time. Bob and Ellen own and operate Harker's, and they can do just about anything. Bob is a diagnostician second to few. He is a really good guy. And if you go in there and you start the conversation with, no one can fix this car, I've had it at 10 other shops, that's just like waving a red flag in front of a bull. He'll bite and he'll fix it. So he does oil changes and air conditioning services and flushes and all that kind of stuff, but he's really, really good at diagnostic issues. 38th Avenue and Indian School, I'm proud to recommend Larry Harker's Auto Repair. Yep, we got a caller. Gil, who might we talk to?
That would be Christopher.
Christopher, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Hey, Mark. This is the home of I Can Fix Everything But the Crack of Dawn and a Broken Heart.
The Crack of Dawn and a Broken Heart. That's the only two things I can't fix.
That's it. That's why I'm calling you, man.
Okay.
I've called in the past, and I've got a situation.
Okay.
My Buick Century, that I had put a newer model engine in it. I had put in the one with the roller rocker. It was a 95 Buick, and the engine went bad, blew a head gasket. And put in the newer one with the roller rockers, and it really ran a lot different. I was surprised. But I was going to work one morning, and all of a sudden, I had this huge cloud of white smoke coming out the back end,
okay.
So much so that I couldn't see the guy behind me, which meant he couldn't see me.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to work, and I propped the hood, and then I pulled the dipstick on the trans, and there was nothing showing. So I put in 2 quarts, and it was still a quart low, which was scary.
Okay.
I made it home, and I decided this car doesn't want to go any farther, and started calling around and got all kinds of ridiculous prices, so much so that I decided to start looking somewhere else. So what I've found, and I know you've got plenty of expertise on this, is I found a 98 Ford Ranger with the 3.0 in it.
Okay.
Runs real smooth. Body's in great shape. There's no issues. I haven't put a reader on it yet. A friend of mine is going to bring his reader over. But the guy's asking $2,700 for it, which isn't, to me, isn't a bad price at all. And I'm just wondering, is there anything I need to watch out for on this? Because I'm not familiar with the 3.0. I know the 3.8 was a piece of garbage, and the 4.0 is a gas arc.
Okay, but what you're saying to me I don't agree with any of that.
Okay.
I don't agree with that. Yes, we have pattern failures, but everybody has a pattern failure, according to YouTube University and half the clowns on the Internet. I mean,
yeah.
One guy says it, the other guy has a problem. And he reads on the Internet that this guy's scooculator valve needs to be cleaned. Okay?
Yes.
And so then all of a sudden, he doesn't know what a scooculator valve is, but he goes, which is, by the way, for the rest of you, it's a name I made up. And so he goes out and has his scooculator valve cleaned up, and the shop doesn't know what it is either, but they clean the EGR valve. And then he raises his hand and said, yep, that's it. So first of all, you don't even know what happened to the Buick. The white smoke's either coolant or transmission fluid, and I think that you probably suck some transmission fluid out of the, into the motor, and that creates white smoke. So I don't know.
Right.
As far as your Ranger's concerned, it's just how you treat it. I mean, if you're going to pull a big trailer and you're going to go to Flagstaff, you're probably going to... Okay, all right. I'm just giving everybody else an example. But there's lots of cars out there that are going to have problems, but they're not pattern failures. So there's lots of guys out there with you know, the old Ford Rangers that are saying to their wives right now, I haven't had any problem with mine at all. So that's just not on our radar screen. I'll give you a good example. A pattern failure is the 6-liter piece of junk that Ford came out with, which is the diesel, the 8-cylinder diesel. They had pattern failures like there's no tomorrow. However, the first fix didn't fix it, neither did the second fix, and finally when we got to third fix, everybody figured out what was wrong. So that's a pattern failure, but your chances of having that were 50-50. So, sure. You know, fan belts and water pumps and wheel bearings and drive shafts, all that kind of stuff.
That's normal stuff.
Yeah. If the air conditioning blows cold and the thing starts and runs, then it's worth $2,500 in my world. No matter what, it's worth $2,500. So you or somebody you pay should get it up on the rack, should look it over, look for oil leaks, tires, wheels, wheel bearings, gears, suspension, upper ball joints, lower ball joints, track bar bushings, tie rod ends, fluids, a complete check of the fluids, starting up, turn on the air conditioning and grab a hold of the suction line, and all of us with calloused hands know what it should feel like. And then you go do a test drive and make sure that your butt isn't flapping, you know, real hard in the seat, which means it's got a problem in the back end and the front end. You know, make sure the steering wheel's straight and it goes straight down the road. Keeping in mind that city roads are crowned, so it's going to drift to the right on a city road.
To the right.
Highways are flat and you can go pretty straight. That's what I would do. That's what I would do. What are you going to do with your Buick?
It's sitting in my yard, and it really broke my heart because I'd sunk an engine into it. And it was giving me great performance.
Okay, forget all that. Forget all that. What are you going to do with it?
I don't know.
Okay, all right. I think you should have it diagnosed. I think you figure out why that smoke and why the transmission was low. And if you put 2.5 quarts in it and you drove it and it didn't go down, then...
Well, I mean, you had to keep doing it.
Yeah, okay, well, if you had to keep doing it, then it's probably going into the motor somewhere, and you just got to figure out where that transmission's fluid is getting sucked into the engine. This could be something that's really inexpensive, but until you know what it is, then that's it. But I got to run, but thank you, Christopher. Thank you very much. 29 minutes after the hour, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question, 602-508-0960. Year, make, and model. Tell me that. Give me the symptoms, and we talk from there. I'm Mark Salem. Renee's sitting here next to me, and we'll be back for another an hour and a half if you'd like to join us. About that. 34 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, so it's 10:30. We'll be here for another hour and a half. If you'd like to join us, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We were just talking about that 6-liter Ford motor on their diesels, and that showed pattern failure about a minute and a half after the first one was sold. But Strictly Diesel Service and Repair saw those, fixed them like we all have, and is really good at the diagnostic, which is the tough part of this. If you guess and you start taking that motor apart, you can have a $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 bill to put it back together. And if you don't fix it, you're in big trouble. So Strictly Diesel, that's not a problem. They've been around the block. They're a Better Business Bureau A-plus rated shop. They've got some of the best diesel techs in the business, and they work on foreign and domestic light diesel trucks. You can also go on their website and find all kinds of parts that are available 24 hours a day at their website. Strictly Diesel Service and Repair, I-17 at Pinnacle Peak in North Scottsdale. Bob, good morning to you. What you got?
Good morning, Mark. I've had a question that I wanted to ask you for a couple of years, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
And I turned on the radio this morning, and I caught you in the middle of your talk on the tires.
Uh-huh.
And so I got my magnifying glass out, and I run out to the car to make sure got this right, but I'm believing it says 55 pounds for maximum tire pressure on my car. Am I reading the wrong thing?
55?
60.
Yep.
55. What kind of car do you have?
I've got a Camry hybrid, and it's fairly new, and it came with, I think it's nylon tires, two belts. I don't know if there's some steel belts in it or not. I've been checking the temperature as I travel, and the temperature's always great. But I think maybe I'm reading something wrong because I generally run my tires at 35, 36, 37 pounds.
Okay. They'll
go up to maybe 40.
All right. What does the door sticker say? Do you remember?
I would guess 35.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I'm sure it's 35 on that hybrid. They want them tires up a little bit.
Okay. And for the fuel economy, there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm a little worried about the 55 pounds on a passenger car. So on the side, real close to the wheel, so right adjacent to the metal portion of the tire, it'll start off with maximum load, dot, 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 and then it'll say maximum inflation, dot, dot. And is that the area you were looking at?
I think so. I'll go back out and look.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I really have been curious about that. I feel very comfortable as long as they're you know, I start out cold in the morning at 37 or 36 or something like that, and when we get wild temperature springs, we really get a different tire pressure, that's for sure.
Well, and don't let that worry you. Here's what you don't need to worry about. A fully inflated tire runs a lot cooler. If, let's assume you have a 55-pound tire. That 55-pound tire is going to run a lot cooler than at 35 pounds. That 55 tire is going to bounce off curbs and in and out of potholes. That 35 may not make it. You remember when you were a kid and you rode your bicycle to the gas station and the tires were half flat, you put air in them and you rode them home and it was like a new bicycle.
Yeah.
So you get better fuel economy with tires at their maximum. There's all kinds of benefits to it, but the heat of the tire, we expect the tire to heat up if you live in Ahwatukee and you got to drive to I-17 and Bell.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I'm all sold on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
What pressure do you run in your passenger tires? Passenger car tires.
It's going to be 35 or 40.
Okay.
Every one of the cars and trucks.
That's where I'm going to stay because maybe I'm going to take a look at this again, but maybe I'm reading something wrong out there.
Okay.
But I had Michelins before that, and they were up there in the 50s, too, for the maximum load.
Okay. Give me the size, too, then.
The Michelin was a Defender tire.
Okay. Give me the size, too. So look at it again, and you know, just make sure it says 55 and not 35. And then look at the door sticker, too. It'll tell you the front and the back tire inflation. And if the door sticker's at 55, then I'm going to pass and say, no, we're following the door sticker.
Yeah,
but,
the doors all the way around, they want 35 pounds. I know that. I've looked at that several times.
Okay, well, the door sticker, of course, handles all four tires. So,
right.
But that those are the issues. I can't answer your question if 55 is good. If I say yes and your static highest pressure is 35, I've done you a disservice. On the other hand, if it's a 55-pound tire and the door sticker says 35, 55 is a good. And then you alluded to when the tire gets hotter and it might do this or might do that. And if you didn't, I'm going to say okay. It is true. The tire is designed for the additional inflation created by load and heat. It's designed for that.
1 minute.
So that's why they say never do any adjustments other than add air to a hot tire. So and so it's not uncommon. On my truck, when we're hauling something, it's not uncommon. I think those are 85 PSI tires on the back end of my truck. It's not uncommon for me to be up in the 105 range.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not worried about that. That's built in.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the best guys that I've ever met in my life was John Dawes.
Mm-hmm.
He passed away a year ago or so. He knew more about tires than anybody in 10 countries and in 10 brands. He just knew tires. And I was his grasshopper for years. And so he taught me a lot about tires, and he would go out and check my tires and then counsel me on what it is. But anyway, I got to go to a break, but thank you very much, Bob. Thank you very much. The lines are open, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. When we come back, we're going to discuss what the vehicle manufacturers recommend, what the tire manufacturers recommend, and what industry experts recommend on your tires. And we'll have a nice discussion about that because you'll figure out what I already know. And that's the agenda here. What's the agenda? So we'll be back in a minute. Forty-three minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, Mark and Renee Salem here at your service. Renee has been my business partner since 1979. Her and my daughter, Andy, and my son, Alan, have listened to me for all that time. So they're pretty good about car repair, better than the average bear.
Yep.
And Alan and Andy can quote prices sometimes off the top of their head, but I'd prefer they not. I'd prefer that they'd leave it to the books and leave it to the guides and stuff. Mm-hmm. Speaking of good auto repair, Action Auto Repairs at I-17 in Deer Valley, Tom has been a great guy, and I've known him since the early 80s, and he opened up in 1983. I'm as proud of him as if he were my son. He started working for a company that sold big engine analyzers, put it on the box. You remember hearing that?
Mm-hmm.
And he had one that there was two. There was a Chevy and a Ford, and mm-hmm. he was doing the Ford, in my opinion. He was doing the Ford, and I bought the Chevy. And he never said a word. He was still my friend.
Yeah.
and if you'll remember back then, those big box machines, didn't they say put it on the box or put it on? Oh, and they'd put it on the scope, they'd say.
Yeah.
Our first house was $33,000. Yeah. Our first scope was $34,000.
Oh, I thought it was more like $50,000, seemed like, but it was a lot.
It was a lot of money. Yeah. But anyway, that's when I met Tom, mm-hmm. and he's been a good friend of mine ever since. So if you're up at I-17 in Deer Valley, if Action Auto's close, and he is on the northwest corner of I-17 in Deer Valley, and you don't have a repair shop, may I suggest that you try him. Terry, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Good morning. I have a 2010 Chevy Malibu, and from what I understand, and it happened to me, my transmission went out, and I had to replace it, and unfortunately, it wasn't a recall by General Motors that year. They weren't previous years to that. So it was an expensive job to get that thing repaired, and it still has never been exactly right. However, I'm thinking about buying... I'm thinking about buying a 2012 Chevy Malibu, and I was wondering if you knew very much about what I should be looking for, the problems I should expect, and do you know if the transmission is just as bad on those as they were previously?
Well,
good question, huh?
Well, it's missing lots of stuff that you don't have, but not the name of the shop. Did you have the dealer replace the transmission or somebody else?
I had somebody else.
Did they rebuild yours, or did they buy a rebuilt, or did they buy a crate one from General Motors?
I tried a couple of things to save the money, and finally ended up getting something from the dealer, and it still isn't correct.
Okay. All right. Well, if you bought it from the dealer and he can prove that with the receipt, then I would probably get a hold of that receipt. He's probably not going to want to give it to you because you marked it up and tell him you don't care, but I would take it to them and I would say, would you diagnose the problem? Now, it's a 50-50. It's him or it's the transmission. So you need to work it out with him on the front side that if it's you and they fix it, can we negotiate a settlement? Can you make some kind of review?
Okay.
I can't possibly answer your question about what you can look at in the future because everybody's different. Everybody's different. Everybody drives their car different. Some people drive them like they stole it, and some people drive them like there's an egg between their foot and the throttle. But if you're going to buy something, I don't know that I would buy a 2012 just because you think you're going to get away from a transmission problem. I don't know if that's a real good idea, but it's your money and it's your idea. As far as what you think with the Malibu, I can't think of a single thing that when a Malibu pulls in, I start licking my lips and knowing I'm going to be able to sell them everything.
You're just that new spa in your backyard, right?
No, yeah. And the Mercedes that Renee's drives and the airplane I just bought and all that other kind of stuff.
Funny.
I think what you should do is if you're going to buy a 2012, you need to have somebody do a used car check over. You're going to spend anywhere from $85 to $125, $130. I can tell you this much. A lady a while ago brought in a car from a dealership, and we found $1,000 worth of work that wasn't even, on a 1 to 10 scale, it wasn't even 2 off the top. I mean, it was not, everything was 9s and 10s. It wasn't any 5s, it wasn't any 6s, and it wasn't any 1s. So we wrote it all up, and she paid it, and I said, I would be interested in knowing what happens. She says, okay. She's a customer of ours now, too. She took it back to the dealer. They did all the work for her, and she negotiated a lesser price. So she came back, and she says they did $1,000 of work, and they verified all your concerns were valid, and they gave me a deduction. She says, so the $125 I spent was really worth it. Now, that happens a lot for us. On private party sales, it doesn't happen much, but it at least gives you negotiation posture that if you need some lower ball joints, and I'm just throwing a number out here, so you can negotiate, and they cost $250, and that includes the alignment, parts and labor and alignment, then you go back and negotiate $250, $300. So I don't know. You know, the hard part is we have a transmission shop that just does wholesales, and he'll make a mistake twice a year. Mm-hmm. And we'll take it back to him, and he'll adjust it, he'll fix it, he'll whatever. Not too long ago, one of his guys put the check valve in the wrong passageway. And it didn't take, I mean, he almost diagnosed it over the phone. And so we took it in, he did it, he brought it back, the symptom's gone, we gave it back to the customer. What bothers me in the transmission business is first of all, there's people in the transmission business that are just what we call R&R. Take it off, buy it cheap, rebuild, and put it in. Now, if the price goes up a lot, then they're going to buy something in a crate from the dealership, but still you have a crossover of the warranty.
The real problem is you got two people involved. The dealer's going to say it's the installer's fault. The installer's going to say it's the dealership's fault. You're in the middle, and there's nothing you can do about it. So in our particular case, and many other shops, if you bring it back in and we bought it from a crate motor, which we have to only do 5-10% of the time because there's good transmissions out there, then we'll take it to the dealer, and then we'll talk with them. And then if they say it's our fault, please show us it's our fault. Show us what you're going to do to fix it, and thank you very much. I'll pay the bill. So that's really...
I didn't know if you knew something in particular 2012 that I should be aware of.
No, and I think that if you had a recall after your 2010, call 1-800-GM or whatever the heck the number is. Have them open up a case for you. Write a really nice letter. This is the 17th Chevrolet my family has owned since 1962. And I love my Malibu, but here's a receipt for transmission work I had to have done. Shortly thereafter, you recalled cars like mine, but 1 or 2 years older, or newer, I should say. And so I would like you to extend whatever consideration you would normally extend to someone who's been a faithful purchaser of your car and can say now, this is the first time I've ever had to contact 1-800 General Motors or Chevrolet. I write pretty good, don't I?
Ooh, you do.
I help people write their stuff. I'm really good at getting all the bullet points there. Well, look at, I'm a happy camper. This is the first time I've had a problem.
Sure.
I've been buying your cars forever. I love my car. My wife loves my car. We fight about who gets to drive my car.
Yeah.
When they read that kind of stuff, they want to fix you. Yeah. They want to help you. So anyway, well, good luck to you, Terry.
All
righty.
Thanks very much.
You bet. 602-508-0960. Tires. We're going to talk about tires real quick.
Yeah, some more. Okay? Yeah, because there's a lot of things about tires, especially now with vacations coming up and all that stuff,
yep,
too.
Yep. Okay. Vehicle manufacturers recommend replacement during the warranty period. Most cars have a 3 to 5 year warranty. I think that's real self-serving.
Yeah.
I think that's real self-serving because all the warranties are different. Mm-hmm. And I think I come to you and you're in the service drive and I say, Mrs. Salem, you know, your car's going to be out of warranty next month. That means your tires. And we just happen to have a special on tires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we're going to make that transition, our industry, in that arena. And I don't think it's in your best interest. I don't think that you should, I don't think it should be, we can forecast your tires are going to fail a week after your warranty's up, mm-hmm. and we'd like to save you a little money.
Right.
I'm not saying they all do it, but I can tell you this much. There's just, percentage-wise, there's just as many dealerships that are wearing a bandit mask as there are independent shops and specialty shops mm-hmm. and tire shops. Now, obviously, you can look at Discount Tire. You can look at some of the chains, and some of them are good and some of them are bad. I would say that about 20% of the independent shop, I'm not going to refer you to. But that just bothers me. Mm-hmm. Okay, most tire manufacturers recommend the 6 years, and I agree with that. Industry experts are recommending 6 years. So if you have a 3-year warranty and they want to sell you tires, industry experts and most tire manufacturers are saying 6 years. Now, here's the real kicker. After 6 years, we won't touch your tire. We won't repair it. We won't stick a plug in it or a patch in it. All we'll do, Salem Boys and a lot of other places, all we'll do is bring the tire up to its normal inflation. That's it. And it's written, be advised, we recommend you replace your tires due to their age, and customer has been advised, blah, blah, blah. And Salem Boys will only adjust the inflation on tires with a DOT after 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to go the 10-year route, then we're not touching your tire after 10 years.
Right.
And so the last guy that touches it's going to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the kinds of things. And temperature and aging are the two things that this report from National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, this report talks about. Arizona has more sun.
Right.
And that's an aging issue with respect to the tire. And then we're going to sell you a tire because the sidewalls are cracked. Unless you can see air on the other side of that crack, I'm not a real advocate of that kind of sales. And, of course, I'm being facetious.
Yeah.
As far as heat is concerned, that's altogether different.
Right.
So you don't really know what kind of heat cycle your tires have, but we do.
Yeah.
We know.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, we go up and down the mountain a lot, so we see a lot of those smaller trailer tires. And most of those, aren't they rated 65 miles an hour? And people don't travel at 65 miles an hour, most of them.
The hot rod boats going to Swirl Beck, Roosevelt and Beck. Okay, they pass us, and you are exceeding the speed limit.
Yeah.
And so they blow past us. When you leave the Indian Reservation on 87, I want you to pay particular attention from the Indian Reservation to the Verde River all the way to the Swirl Lake Turnoff. I mean, the place looks like a tire explosion. Now, on the way back, I want you to pay attention to the grooves in the pavement. There are areas where there's grooves that look like a record player across two lanes. Mm-hmm. That's where the tire's blown off, and the rim is now gouging the pavement. You can see it as clear as day, and those little bitty tires are not designed to whip down the road at 65, 70 miles an hour. The other day, someone told me, and I can't divulge his name, he was doing 81 miles an hour from Payson here. Okay. And as soon as he passed Swirl Lake, he says, I'm being passed by guys with tires that are no bigger than a pizza.
I know.
And it is true. Trailer tires, typically, if they start with ST, the trailer tire has a 65 mile an hour strict. I'm not talking 68 or 70. It's a strict 65 miles an hour. In addition to that balloon, it's important to know that the smaller tires spin three or four times for every big tire circumference. Mm-hmm. So the big tire rolls 12 o'clock to 12 o'clock, but the small tire probably does four of those to gain the same distance.
Right, right. Well, and the other interesting thing, we happened to watch your segment on the list the other day again about overloading your car.
Yeah.
And on that particular car that we were using, it had a 910-pound
load
limit.
Before you go on.
Okay.
And two of the participants that we were weighing and stuff were my two fat bearded sisters. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, that's not much for your luggage and all your passengers and all that stuff. And how many times do we see people on the side of the road that have blown a tire and they have, like, you know, their garage out on the side of the road trying to get to their spare? I mean, it's a mess.
It's an easy one to do. You have a curb weight that's in your owner's manual.
Right.
Then you have a maximum load weight on the door sticker. Mm-hmm. So we looked at this car and it had a 900-pound deal. Well, the two big technicians we had in there and the two people in the back were more than 900.
Oh,
they
didn't
even have room for an ice chest full of beer.
Yeah.
And so, but they better have those tires inflated to their maximum if they want to make where they're going. So you bring up a really good point. But that's, I don't know how we're going to fix that. How are we going to get people to look up the curb weight, which is the car, what it weighs sitting there with no butts in it? That's the curb weight plus fuel. It's full.
Is that on the door sticker?
I mean, it's in the car. It's typically in the owner's manual.
Okay.
But I don't think it's in the car.
Okay.
I don't think it's something that's on the sticker, but I'll look because that's a great question.
Check real quick.
But it's going to say gross vehicle weight, and the gross vehicle weight is the car empty with its load and passengers cannot exceed this weight limit.
Yeah. Now, I was surprised it was only 910, actually. When you said that, I thought that was a little amount.
The two guys in the front seat of this car were shoulder to shoulder from the window to the window.
And it wasn't a small car.
That piece was funny just because I kept talking about my bearded sisters.
Right.
That was a great piece. But nevertheless, 602-508-0960. I know Gil's, we left somebody hanging. Tell them they're going to be first on the other side. So we're going to be like, three, 4 minutes, and then we'll be back to them. The rest of you, we have open lines. We have four of them, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and I'll just walk it to the top of the hour, 602-508-0960 and 602-508-0960.
Oz for the following. Wives, mothers, daughters, ex-wives, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, stepmothers, daughters, and in-laws. If you find yourself agreeing with everything Mark says, please seek professional help.
Buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602. Once again, here's Mark.
Rolled up to my Chevrolet.
Well, welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, and before I do anything else, I'm going to go to Hux because that's what I promised. Hux, good morning to you.
Hey, thanks for talking to me. I've got a winning F-53 chassis, 16.
Uh-huh.
It's still under warranty. And I've gone through about a quart and a half of transmission oil in 17,000 miles. And I took it to a dealer, and I had to drive 25 miles to get there. And he watched me check the transmission fluid, and it was, I had it to the top of the safe zone.
Okay.
With the cross hatches. And he went and talked to somebody in the back and came out and said I was too conscientious and that I shouldn't add any fluid unless it's lower than halfway up the safe zone.
Okay,
so I asked him, where's the fluid going? And he says, well, it gets a lot hotter when you go up the hill and the fluid comes up the tube. And I said, well, if it comes up the tube, it'll be in the engine compartment. I can't find any puddles or any fluid underneath. I've looked at the back of the transmission, the radiators up front. I can't find any fluid leaks.
Okay.
Where does that fluid go?
Well, I obviously can't tell you that. The F53 chassis is one of the best chassis, and it's built by Ford, and I hate to say that, and I'm only going to say it once, but it's probably one of the best motorhome chassis up to about 30 feet. It's probably one of the best chassis there are. As far as your problem is concerned, I think the problem with the one, and another thing, if you have a leak in that motorhome, the leak is going to end up all over the back of the motorhome, on the rear bumper, and then the wind is going to swirl around behind, and you're going to have spots of oil all over the back of the motorhome, including the back window if you have one. So there's a lot going on here. I think what I would do is I would make absolutely sure that you check the transmission fluid in the same environment. So if you're getting to where you're going and you check the transmission fluid, then you ought to do it that way all the time. Folks, what he's talking about is there's a hash mark area that's usually a 3/8 of an inch or so on the dipstick. So there's a line, and then there's a bunch of little triangles, and then there's another line, and we want you to be in that line. Well, when we say be in that line, you can be on the bottom line or on the top line. It really doesn't make any difference. So I can't tell you where the transmission fluid is, but I think I'm going to guess, and I'm guessing that you can't promise me that you're checking it in the same environment every single time. And so I'm only asking you to do that, and if it makes a difference, I think we've made progress. But in as far as anything, I would only put it fluid in it if it's below the ad mark, even if it's one line below the ad mark. Otherwise, the width of one line, I may put a half a quart in it and see where that ends up. But you're also talking to a service writer, and the service writers in our industry are not technical people. They're parrots. So they go back and tell some technician, hopefully a good gray-haired guy, da-da-da, Huck said this. And then the technician then tries to explain it to the service writer who's going to parrot it to you. And if they have to walk very far, they're probably going to go a ways, and they may not get everything exactly right. So it's better, if you want, is to get on some Ford forums, some F53 chassis forums, and ask them. You can also call my son Alan, and you look it up. It's Salem Boys Auto. Call and ask for Alan. Tell him what you told me, and you can tell it to him in a real short period. I have an F53 chassis. It's a motorhome chassis, and it's got a transmission. I see it below the ad, or I'm adding a quart and a half to it, and I don't see any leaks, and I've done that twice. And your dad said that you could call your transmission expert and ask him if he's concerned about that. But that's how I would handle it. Hux, it's entirely possible that maybe you checked it really hot one time and then kind of really cold the next. And, yes, the fluid is going to bounce the width of that hash mark. So if the hash mark's 3/8 of an inch, the fluid could easily be cold out of spec and hot out of spec. But we want to test it as best we can. And I'm sure I believe you that there's no leaks. So that's why I'm kind of thinking that it's moving around. Now, you could leave the fluid in the dipstick alone and check it cold 2 or 3 times and check it hot 2 or 3 times. And that might give you – but the dipstick says right on it, check hot in park. Or it says
check cold in park and use this fluid. So the dipstick will have some information on it. But thank you, Hux. That's a good question. It's kind of like I'm adding oil to my engine and I don't know where it's going. The difference is the engine's going to consume oil and they touch in that particular area and we're going to get blue smoke. Transmission, if the engine's sucking transmission fluid out of the transmission, that's white smoke. And that's a little easier to describe and a little easier to diagnose. There's not going to be any leak. But in your transmission, I doubt very seriously if we have a connection between the transmission and the tailpipe. That was more of the other ones that had vacuum lines that ran to vacuum modulator, shift modulators, or something like that. So good luck, Hux. Good luck. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Up in Sun City, you probably have a variety of shops that you can go to for your car repair. May I suggest, if you don't, or perhaps if you're looking for a shop, Auto Dynamics. They've been around a very long time, since 1982. They're very large. They're trusted. And, of course, as you know, in Sun City, if somebody takes advantage of three or four people in a row, then word travels fast. But anyway, Auto Dynamics and their staff are not paid a commission or a percent of your repair bill. Therefore, they shouldn't and won't sell unnecessary parts. So they stand behind the work they do. They have good technicians, and they're on Grand Avenue, just west of 99th Avenue. So the north side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue. So if you want to try a new shop, then try Automotive Dynamics. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. You know, what really works well in the area of car repair is just communication. And you need to be careful of, like Hux, you walk in and you say, you know, I've added a quart and a half. And what I forgot to ask Hux is, where'd you start and where'd you end up? So I'm sure you pulled the stick after you put a quart and a half, and is it over the hash marks or was it well below the ad mark? But be careful of somebody who does what we call parking lot diagnosis unless it's really obvious. Obviously, if the airbag is blown out of your left front tire that holds the car in suspension, it's part of the suspension, and you drive it in and the left tire, the left part of the car is real low, and all the other corners are fine, and he crawls underneath there and he says, oh yeah, there's an airbag with a big tear in it. And you say, well, can you put it on the rack and show me what you're talking about? That's okay. You can do that. But just be careful of those parking lot diagnoses, or even worse, you call the shop and they diagnose it over the phone. So you just want to, and it's not uncommon for people to say, can I see what you're seeing? And if the shop says no or gives you that line about we're not allowed in the shop, then maybe you ought to find a shop that will let you come out into the shop. Like a lot of other shops, we have a sign above the door that says you go into the shop at your own risk. We had a situation, I'll tell a quick story because I'm a good storyteller. We had a guy that came in that had never been in the shop before. He had never been a customer. He absolutely insisted that we take the car in the back of the shop and squirt some oil in it. Now, folks, we squirt oil into cars with big guns. We can dump 5 quarts of oil in your car in 11 seconds. So he pulls the car in. My son's real tall. He's 6'4". He's a big boy. And he opens up the hood. And my son is checking the oil, and all of a sudden, the guy is standing next to the car, and the hood falls, and the guy falls on the ground and starts flopping around like a fish out of the water. And I mean to tell you, the entire shop came to a halt. And then he starts screaming, he can't see, he can't hear, and then somebody said, what? And he goes, I can't hear. And it was really kind of comical, but at the time, the entire shop was in panic mode.
Yeah. Well, you forgot to tell. His hood strut was broken, and we had to clamp it up with
vice grips,
and he knocked those.
But we didn't know that at the time,
right,
until we looked at the videotape.
Right.
Okay? So we call the paramedics, and we call the police, and the fire shows up, and police show up. This guy's flopping around on the ground. They put him on a stretcher, and they got a neck brace on him and all that kind of stuff, and they put him in, and they take him to the hospital. We don't really know what to do with this car, so we just push it out. And Alan says, Dad, I put a pair of vice grips on the hood shock to hold it up. And he says,
He had to have released him. And he says, and I wasn't watching him because I was pulling my dipstick. And I said, you're fired as my son. Get out of here. So anyway, they take him to the hospital. This is a true story. Within a day, right? Within a day or two, we get a call from an attorney, and he says, you know, I represent da-da-da-da-da, and I guess he had an unfortunate accident in your shop, and I'd like the name of your insurance company. Folks, I've been in this arena. I've ridden this horse before. I've heard this story before. And I said, sir, with all due respect, when you file a case against me, when you file suit against me, I'm happy to provide our insurance company. And here's the reason I said that is because it costs money to do that. So he needs to make sure that he's going to follow through. What he wants is my insurance company's name, so he can call my insurance company, tell him a story that's not true, and hopefully they'll settle for $1,000 real quick. Anyway, the guy ends up racking up $18,000 worth of tests. They release him because they can't find anything. We go through the security tape, and he comes in, and he has a white hat on. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, his head took a bad hit. So we look at the hat, and I think he left the hat there. He took it?
Yeah.
But he came through the lobby, and he went into the shop, and we had a 360-degree view of his hat and afterwards. Mm-hmm. And his hat never got dirty, although the hood hit him in the head.
Supposedly.
So we had the hat.
Yeah.
So we had video of him walking in. We had video of him going back in the back and driving the car around. We had video of the hood coming down, and he's covering up the area with his body about where the vice grips are that are holding the hood up. And then he falls on the ground, and we have all that. The next day, another attorney calls. And then the next day, and I tell him the same thing, file your suit. The next day, another attorney calls.
Right.
And I tell him the same. So finally, one of them does file suit, and our insurance gets involved and everything. Come to find out, a background check shows that this guy's been hit in the head from a hood from Colorado to Arizona.
Yeah.
And he had all those medical bills tied up, and nobody settled with him. And they told him and his attorney, thank you, but no, we're not going to do this because it's a scam. And yeah. Nothing ever happened after that.
Right. Well, and we had Alan's shirt that had the hood mark back.
Yeah. I forgot that. He's 6'4", mm-hmm. and the hood comes down, and it hits him on the back. Well, we keep the shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big hood mark from the pad on his shoulders.
Yeah.
So the hood fell about 6 inches. There's no way this guy had his head where the hood would be, because the hood would have to be virtually closed in order to squash his head.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's an excitement around the shop on a daily basis.
Thank goodness it only happened once.
Yeah.
Knock on wood.
Since 1994. That's
there at that shop, yeah.
At our shop. I don't think we had any anywhere else.
Oh, no, we haven't. No,
yeah, but 1994, since that shop, we've never had that happen except one time.
Yep.
But my dad went into a tire shop one time and tripped over a jack.
Okay.
But it was his fault.
Right.
It was his fault. Yep. He shouldn't have been drinking. 602-508-0960. We'll be back. Twenty-one minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, if you'd like to join us or ask us a car question, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. But Buddy's been waiting, and I'm going to thank him for that, and I'm going to take him right now. Buddy, how is it I can help you?
Hey, let's see. I've got a 2003 PT Cruiser, and it needs an engine rebuild. Where would be a good place to go with that?
What part of town do you live in?
35th Avenue in Peoria.
35th Avenue in Peoria. I don't have anybody up in that area. I would think, well, you're going to have to, I would call Billy at 25th Street Auto, and I would call Dave at Martin's Auto, which is 16th Street.
Uh-huh.
And it's right in Indian School.
It's cool, yeah.
Yeah. Those two guys are certainly capable of doing that work. What happened to the motor?
I messed up and blew it up.
Okay, did you overheat it or run it low on oil?
Yeah, I did. What a schmuck I am, huh?
Well, no, which one, though? Overheat or run it low on oil?
Both.
Oh, okay. Shame on you,
buddy.
He
did a job on that.
Tell me what you want.
Well, you know what? It's okay. It's okay.
Sometimes it happens.
One time, buddy, don't tell anybody this, I had a 70 Chevelle Supersport, and I decided to take my nephews for a ride.
And I decided to show him how much that thing had in it. And I hit second gear with four guys in that were tipping the scales between 200 and 300 pounds, and I left second gear on the ground. And I mean, the transmission broke in half, and there was trash everywhere. And I had to go home and explain to my wife that something happened to the car, and I just have no idea what.
It was probably overloaded. That was probably it, yeah. No.
So, you know what? I raised my hand and said, you know, I just did stupid, and that's okay. So that's what Buddy's doing. He said, yeah. I was stupid.
Yeah.
Well, how about if I ask you what would be the price on an engine rebuild like that?
I don't know the answer to that, but I'm not going to rebuild your motor. Your choices really are, is a good low mileage used one, and I don't think you'll find one because your car's 16 years old.
Yeah.
And then there's a variety of companies that provide rebuilt engines, and the one we use,
Jasper.
Uh-huh. We use Jasper. So my son just came from a trip to their warehouse and their manufacturing plant, and the first thing he said when he got off the airline, he said, "Dad, wow." That's what he said. He said, "I saw things and I saw quality control." Now, like everybody else, they're going to have an oil leak, or they're going to have something that goes wrong. Remember that time we had that 390 Ford and that old 70 Ford pickup truck, and it consumed oil?
Mm-hmm.
They had bored one of the cylinders and done it wrong, and it was oblong. And they shipped us a brand new motor. They paid for the rental car. They paid for the labor. They paid for everything because it was clearly their fault.
Yeah, because a lot of us don't. Yeah, a lot of us don't rebuild them anymore. It's just not.
Well, and you wouldn't rebuild his. Buddy's,
right.
Buddy overheated it and ran it low on oil.
Yeah.
What part of that is good?
Yeah.
You know, maybe we can use the intake again. That's about it. So I think you're going to spend I think you're going to be in the $500 to $6,500 range.
Holy cow.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question now.
Sure.
How many miles a month do you drive, you think?
About 10,000.
A month or
a year?
Oh, a year. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay. So, you know, if you drove a 12,000 a year, you got $1,000 a month. And you have to divide that out. But hopefully the transmission's good, the tires are good, the shocks are good, the air conditioning blows cold, all of that kind of stuff. I'm going to have to get the calculator because I can't do it otherwise.
No,
I'm going to take $6,500 and I'm going to divide it by 36 months. That's $180 a month. So it's kind of like adding $180 a month to your non-existent payment for the next 3 years. So, you know, to get another 3 years. But if this thing's a rag doll and the interior's coming apart and Buddy spilled a bunch of beer in the passenger seat and it's been in a 3 or 4 wrecks, then I'm saying to you, just cut your losses and get something else.
Oh, this is a real nice PT.
Okay. Do you have a wife, Buddy?
Uh-oh, here it comes. Yes, I got a wife.
And what did she say when you brought the car home on a hook?
I blamed it on her.
That's what Mark does, too.
Yeah. Holy, attaboy. How many years have you been married to pull that off?
55 years.
Oh, gee, you are my hero. You, Renee and I just crossed over 45, and I'm going to tell you right now, I married her when she was 10.
Yeah.
Not too many of our friends have that.
Yeah.
And frankly, you're one of the few that we've met in a long time that have been in the 55, north of 50 range.
But I will tell you, Buddy, one day he did let me drive his truck somewhere. We were actually out of town. And I came back. I went out to the truck to put some stuff, probably, who knows, shoes or something in the car.
Yeah.
And I looked down, and there's this big smash on the side of the truck. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I didn't hit anything. I wonder if somebody hit me, and I'm sweating bullets. And I have to tell him that his prize truck has a, you know, dent in the side. Come to find out, he had done it, and he never told me. So he was going to let me take the blame for it.
Buddy, I have this one-ton Dodge truck that it has a wrap, which is like wallpaper, and it's an American flag-looking thing. And in the period of 3 days... I was turning around in a yard with a bunch of equipment in it, and there was a bucket off of a Bobcat sitting there. And I said to the guy next to me, "Am I going to clear that?" And he goes, "Oh, yeah, go ahead." Well, I didn't clear it. And then what were the other two?
I have no idea.
I have two really nice dents, three really nice dents, no bigger than the palm of your hand. Mm-hmm. And I know what it was. Gordy was telling me to back up the trailer, and I said, don't, I don't want to cock it, I don't want to cock it. So go, come on. I back up, the trailer just creases the right rear corner.
Oh,
yeah.
So,
happens to all of us.
and in my defense, and Buddy's going to go with me, two of those three are someone else's fault.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Anyway, Buddy, thanks for calling, Buddy. Good luck.
Yeah, oh, and you bet.
25th Street Auto, Martin's Auto, those are the two guys. Now, if you want to go north, then I'd go to either Kurt at Bell and I-17, Kurt's Auto Repair with a C, or Action Auto up on I-17 and
Bell.
I-17. Deer Valley.
Deer Valley. I always get that
so
wrong.
Those guys, you got four guys around you. Anyway, thank you, Buddy. Thank you very much. Oh, boy. Gil, do we have anybody else?
Nope.
Okay, the lines are wide open. If you'd like to join us or if you want to talk, then do it now. Thompson's Auto Repair is in Mesa. He's a really good guy. Him and Brian and Thelma are the kind of people that if you meet, you say to yourselves, I wish they were my neighbors. I've known the two families since the mid-60s because both of their families, both Brian and Thelma, their families have been in the auto repair business in Mesa for a very long time. It's not that Brian and Thelma at Thompson's Auto Repair are the only shop in Mesa that's good. That's not the case. They're the only shop that's applied and passed the muster. That's what it's all about. So if you're in Mesa, they're on Main, just east of Stapley. It's a good shop, and once you meet Brian and Thelma, you'll know why Mark Salem says thumbs up to Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. Main Street, just east, just west. It's east. It's east of Stapley on Main Street, the south side of the road. I had to close my eyes to visualize it. And when we come back, Renee will tell you about all the other cars she's crashed, and we'll have a little storytelling where she's wound hers around a couple of places, too. Now 34 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, Mark and Renee Salem at your service here. And I'm going to hold a little bit of a, we're going to vote.
Okay.
We're going to vote. What's it called, a survey?
Yes,
okay.
I guess.
All right. Gil, fire up your microphone because you get to vote, too. You're the deal breaker, okay?
Oh, great, okay.
I'm thinking, Buddy's been married 55 years.
Okay.
He smoked the motor on a car that's 16 years old. That can't be bad. Buddy needs to go out and buy himself and his wife a new car.
Yes.
Okay? Just go out, splurge, Buddy, and just buy a new car. It's probably a good idea to let her pick out the color. but I think other than that, now, how do you vote?
Yeah, I think they could get a new car.
Yeah, should get a new car.
Should get a new car.
Yeah, because bless Buddy's, he's been driving this PT Crozier for 16 years.
It sounds like he's taking good care of it, though.
Yeah.
So he might be attached to it.
Other than the fact that he smoked the motor.
Yeah.
Gil, what do you think? Should Buddy get a new engine? Because we're voting for his wife.
Okay.
A new car. I mean, there's good deals out there now.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, that's true, too. Okay, we had three cars in our bays this week.
Yep.
And I got them right here. I wrote them down.
Yep.
We had a turquoise 55 Thunderbird.
Beautiful.
And it was just stunning. And I don't know what we were doing to the Thunderbird, but
yeah,
it was
a convertible.
Yeah.
It was like mint color.
Yeah. Well, isn't that kind of turquoise?
Okay,
turquoise, real light. Okay,
yeah.
Mint. Mint's
I think
good.
In 55 they might have called it mint.
Then we had a 68 GTO red.
Mm-hmm.
And these cars are just pristine. Pristine. And then we had a 76 orange Vette.
Mm-hmm.
We had all three of those in. Now, folks, here's what we do. I don't know about the other shops. You can bring your old car in. But if it hasn't run for a long time, that's what we're going to do first. We're going to get it to start, run, and stop for the obvious reasons.
Yeah.
So once we get it to stop, run, and stop, or actually start, run, and stop, then we can decide on what it is. And this is what I tell everybody. This is what staff tells everybody. No matter what your budget is to bring this car to a daily driver, forget the paint and body.
Yeah.
This is mechanical from bumper to bumper. Water pumps and hoses and batteries and blah, 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 cleaning the tank out. Whatever your budget is, times three.
Yeah.
And it's not because of us. It's because of you. because we'll say, hey, we're going to go ahead and, you know, your water pump's leaking, we need to do that. Well, is there any savings there? Well, yeah, we can pull the cover off and do the timing chain and gears, but we got to pull the oil pan. Yeah, let's do it all. And then while you got the oil pump out, oil pan, put an oil pump in it. Well, we just three-timed our estimate because you're taking advantage of the labor. So
savings,
there's a
yeah.
duplication in labor.
Yeah.
So it's nothing that we get into trouble for because we're walking through this the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these cars really go out with thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
But we put 50 to 100 miles on them, and we're absolutely sure that they'll start to run and stop. And not all the time. If they've got air and they paid for it, they get air. But those are fun to work on.
Oh,
They're real fundamental.
Yeah, and these all were actually in great condition. I think they just had a few, you know, minor things that they needed. But, I mean, as far as a paint and body, it wasn't like a restoration or anything like that. But you can see them on Instagram if you go to Salem Boys Auto and just look on there. We've got some pictures of them on there.
Well, and Andy, our daughter, puts pictures up. For instance, the technicians are responsible for having a phone. We have a shop phone.
Mm-hmm.
They take the old part off and put it on their bench. Then they take the new part off the bench and put it on the car. We make them put the side by side.
Right.
And then we take a picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see the broken motor mount and the new one.
Right.
You can see the water pump that we pulled off that's leaking like a sieve, and the way we put the new water pump, you can see clearly
mm-hmm.
that there's a difference.
Yep.
We put the old brake shoe next to the new brake shoe. So we're always putting those kinds of comparisons on our Instagram account. Now, mm-hmm. we also have a Facebook account, and we talk about cars there every once in a while. I'll talk about a horse or something like that, but most of the time we're talking about a car. Speaking of wrecking cars, do you want to admit anything?
I haven't been in a wreck.
You haven't ever?
No.
Uh-huh.
You're going to jinx me because I haven't had a flat tire and I haven't had a wreck. So
yeah, yeah.
You're going to jinx me.
You haven't damaged any car at all, huh?
No.
Okay. All right.
You can't name it, can you?
I'm going to wait till the end of the show and hit you with it. That's okay. And in fairness, I've wrecked a lot more cars than you have. Through the grace of God, I haven't been hurt, and neither has anybody else.
No, thank goodness.
But most of the time, it's, you know, backing a horse trailer up and crinkling the fender or something like that, or driving.
It's probably usually my fault too, isn't it?
Yeah, because you're guiding me.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I want to tell why.
I wasn't even near you when you hit the truck on both sides.
1 minute.
And you don't even remember what you did, so.
One of them. I remember two of them. I just don't remember the third one.
Okay.
And it wasn't important to me anyway.
Yeah,
I don't
probably
care.
Probably
done. You know what I mean? But the idea.
You don't say that to me when after no.
I'm
I haven't
going
had,
on to
I
a new
wrecked
subject.
Anything.
Stand by, stand by. It's important to and we talked about this today. When the wife is helping the husband back up, the wife has to stay visible to the husband. She can't be standing behind the trailer and waving at us because we can't see her. So she has to be able to have a clear vision. A look at the mirrors, and she should see her husband's face. It's at that point she's saying, come on, come on. And hand signals is waving your hand towards you, come on, and then both hands out, stop. How many fights have we had over the last 55 years of you hiding behind the trailer telling me, come on, come on, and I can't even see you?
That's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah, I can.
Aggravate you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I got air horns, so that I can get your attention and have you turn around and look at me. All righty, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. I'm going to just go ahead and go over the 40 for just a second, tell you about Kurt's Auto Repair, I-17 in Bell. Kurt, Eric, and Jeff are really good at what they do. Kurt's the boss. Eric and Jeff are there. But all three of them are master technicians. That's ASE master certified technicians. There's lots of master technicians, but if you're ASE certified, you're the big dog. So it's a family-owned, operated shop. And here's the best part. For me, it is. People go there the first time. And within a day or so, Kurt's wife knocks at their door and brings them freshly homemade baked goods. And she says, thank you for trusting us to work on your car. People just don't believe that. But mm-hmm. that's the way it used to be in the 60s and the 70s. We did stuff like that. And some of your dad and your mom we used to send beer to, but everybody else we'd take beer. I'm just kidding.
You're on the beer kick today. Are you celebrating or what?
I'm kidding. Just leave me alone. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Kurtz is a great place. They know right from wrong. They have ASE certified technicians. I-17 in Bell, northeast corner. You can't go wrong, and we'll be right back. After 11 o'clock, Mark Salem here with my wife, Renee. And I'm going to tell you real quick that Blackwell Automotive at 40th and Greenway, just north, is one of the best shops around when it comes to old cars, too. Tom does old cars, but if you stuff a motor and a tranny in your old hot rod and you don't have a cross member, he's good at that kind of manufacturing, that kind of adaptation, that kind of engineering,
fabrication, yeah,
all that stuff. So 40th North of Greenway, Tom Blackwell, he does oil changes and water pumps and all that other kind of stuff, but when you go by there, you say, can I have a tour? Mm-hmm. And you'll see some really nice hot rods there. There, some of them are north of $100,000. Renee, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Thank you. How are you all?
I'm good. Now, do you spell your name with an E or an A, or how do you spell it?
It's R-E-N-E-E.
Okay. All right. Okay. Just different than my wife, and I wanted to get your name right so that people wouldn't think that, you know, she called in. But I'm here to help you. How can I help you?
I want to know, do you or do you not recommend CarShield? There's some advertising on the radio, same station. Different show.
Yeah.
Renee, I've never
recommended any kind of aftermarket warranty. I'll give them to you, the reasons, as fast as I can. Renee brings her car in, and she has a radiator problem. And then they ask for your transmission service records. And we say, what does apples have to do with oranges? The radiator is quite different. And they say, well, there's a transmission cooler in the radiator. And I say, yeah, but it's not leaking. And they void your warranty. They won't cover the thing. If you don't have your oil changes in order, they're not going to cover it. If you don't have all your maintenance records, they're not going to cover it. Now, you pay for the bill, but they won't pay sales tax, shop supplies, environmental charges. They won't oftentimes want to cover Freon. There's lots of things they don't cover. So I think this. Go ahead and have them give you a number, and then you put that money in the bank. And I promise you that you'll not use all that money year to year. And I want to tell you, it's people just don't do that. Between the non-covered stuff and the actual stuff that is covered, you're always going to do it. And I jokingly say to some people, you give me that much money and I'll cover your car, but I'm going to use their contract because I'm going to make money on it. So the answer to your question is I think you'd do better somewhere else.
Well, I hear this advertisement, and I keep quite a good logbook on all my maintenance. So
okay, you have to have the receipts. So the logbook, hopefully it comes with receipts. But call them up and find out. And it's really a cost per month, okay? It's just really a cost. So divide up the whole thing. If it's a three-year policy, divide it by 36 months. And then you look at that, and then you look at your log and go, I haven't spent that much money a month ever. Mm-hmm. And then that's your answer, okay?
Yeah, okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're
have
welcome.
A good day.
Same to you, Renee. Thank you. Mike, you're up next. How can I help you?
Hey, Mark. I love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, I have a 1999 Ford F-250, 7.3 liters. Got about 300,000 on it.
Okay.
I went in to have emissions done a couple weeks ago, and I noticed that the occupancy percentage is, like, going way up.
Okay. Did you pass?
No, it fit. Yeah, it passed. It was a 22.1, and it's 40 is the highest you can go.
Okay.
But I noticed since 1915 when I had it, or 2015, it was 4.5, went to 4.6, 9.6. Now it's up to 22.1.
Okay.
I don't know why that could be.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you ever see black smoke coming out of the tailpipe?
Yes.
Okay. Opacity is what you're talking about. It's the smoke.
Opacity.
Yeah.
Right.
If you don't have an overheat, if you don't have an oil consumption problem, if you don't have anything else that's wrong with that, first of all, you can sell that 7.3. If you're the original owner and you got all the paperwork on it, you can sell it for almost as much as you paid for it.
You think I'm joking.
I'm not. I'm telling you the honest God truth. First of all, that's one of Ford's earliest motor. It is the earliest motor. Second of all, it's a monster. It's a monster motor. And people love those 7.3s. So if you wanted to bail on it, boy, now would be the time. You're the original owner. But 300,000 miles, it's probably got an injector leaking, or it may be delivering a little bit more fuel than it should. But if you can drive down the street and not fog everybody behind you, I don't know that I'd fix it until I have to. So if you get over the 40 on the opacity, then you're going to have to fix it. But to be honest with you, I would let my grandkids go with you to Disneyland and back, and I would know you'd bring them home safe.
Okay.
All righty.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, appreciate it, Mark. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike. John, you're up next. How can I help you? Hi, John. John?
Hey, Mark.
Yes?
I've got a 2012 Chevy Silverado six-cylinder, and my headlight went out. I went down to get a new bulb, and we found out that one of the wires looked like it was rubbed raw.
Uh-huh.
So I replaced I had the dealership replace the electronical, all the wires that hook up the bulb.
Yeah.
You know, to make the bulb work, the boot or whatever. Anyway, this was like 3 months ago. And then, the other day I noticed that my headlight's out again. So I stopped and I had, the bulb replaced, and they told me it looks like the wires are heating up for some reason. Do you have any idea what would cause that?
No, because I don't trust the diagnosis of someone who works at a parts store. I don't know. It could easily be that they used heat, and they used heat shrink over the wire, and then you take a small propane torch, and as you wave it over the heat shrink, it sucks down on the wire and gives you a water pipe or a waterproof connection. So I'm not sure that I like that. I'm not sure that that's going to be an issue. What I'm wondering is what brand of bulb you're putting in it. Cause frankly, we probably do a headlight bulb, what would you say, once a month? And we do sometimes 20 cars a day.
Yeah, maybe a couple a month, but not many.
Yeah, we don't do a lot. But, you know, here's what to do. Switch that bulb to the other side. Switch side to side. If the left side goes out, then you could improve your bulb quality.
Mm-hmm.
And if the right side goes out, then you probably, and I'll tell you something, the socket on headlights is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a pattern failure, but we see that a lot.
They get wet.
And they get wet, they rust, they corrode and stuff like that. So sometimes, and it's easy, you just clip the socket and it comes with a pigtail and you just plumb it back in there and you put a little dielectric grease on the bulb and stick it back in there. So this isn't a big deal.
Yeah, because if it was a burnt wire, you'd see it, I would think, right?
Well, there's resistance, but I'm quite sure that they used a torch to put the heat shrink on their connections. And I want to tell you something, most guys don't do that. So if they did that, I say go back to them because they did a good job.
I thought he said he did it. But
no, I thought he took it to the dealer and installed it.
I rushed to the dealership, and I bought the whole new wire harness.
Okay.
You know, so they put the new wire harness in there. I don't know if they used my original bulb or not, but okay.
Well, if you wanted to, you could go back there and you could say, hey, I may have a problem. Would you look at it? Because I think it's covered under your warranty because now evidently I have wires that look like they've been heated. And, of course, you guys just replace the harness. So would you please look at it and then give me a call? And please don't spend any of my money till you call me. That's how you handle that.
Well, that's a big thing to ask them.
No. People would ask it to me, and I go, well, if you're thinking this is a warranty issue, I'm going to give it a look. I can't say it's not my fault till I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, really and truly, it's how you position yourself. It's what you say. So, and then he says, well, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm going to have to charge you a checkout fee. And you hand him a copy of your ticket because you already got it in your hand. And you say, okay, well, you didn't charge me a checkout to check it this time. Could you just ask if we can just get to the point where is there a problem or not? Because you were the last people there, you know? And all they're going to say is no. And if they say no, say, okay, well, thank you. Or how much is it? And by that time, you've whittled them down to $15 or $20, and then you pay it. So.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, then I'd be thrilled.
I'm guessing. All that's a guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you very much, John. Susan, how are you today? What can we do for you?
Hi, yes. I was calling to see if you could recommend how to purchase or where to look for a good used minivan. I've got my daughter and a son-in-law, and they just found a one car, their Civic 2002, just, I guess the radiator went out and then it burned something else.
Okay.
And, I don't know if you had any suggestions that, you know, where should they even start to look?
Okay. I think I would go to the Auto Trader. and I would I would have, and I, and if I can make a suggestion, I like the Dodge Vans a lot. And,
okay.
And I would try to find somebody who was an original owner. I would find somebody who's an old time guy that has a three ring notebook and he has every receipt he's ever made. And then I would take it to my shop and have him do a used car checkover. And then I would get on the net and go to KBB.com, KellyBlueBook.com. I would pull up that car, and the Kelly Blue Book is going to give you trade-in value, private party sale, and retail. And if you if you can buy that for the lowest number, and then you're better than most people, but you might have to pay the middle number.
Maybe a Carfax.
Yeah, and you can do a Carfax too, ma'am. But that you can ask the seller to provide a Carfax.
Mm-hmm.
It's not uncommon for, but he'll give you a copy of the Carfax. But he has to give that same copy to three or four other people as well. Mm-hmm. But as far as finding some place where you're going to really buy a nice minivan, I don't have that in my inventory.
You know, it was more the process. In fact, I told the auto trader, and he kind of described how I bought my SUV.
Uh-huh.
I found it out in Sun City, an old elder gentleman, and he had every receipt under the sun.
yes, that's what you want.
Okay, and a single, and I was just, I got so lucky that I did look along quite a while, so I didn't know if there was anything else, but you just kind of verified what I thought. So.
No, I think you did a doggone good job on the first one.
Fun City Proud. Okay, well, thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you. You know, it is the old time guys. It's if they have that three ring notebook. Now we do that, but it's easy for us to print out all of our work orders.
Sure.
But we mark out the prices because the prices are actually our cost prices.
Sure.
So we mark out the prices, but not the part number or anything that at all. But the warranty doesn't transfer either.
No.
If the lady or say you got a guy and he sells you a Dodge van, then if he had some water pump put on 6 months ago and it has a 1 year warranty, that's only to the original purchaser.
Yeah. That's why you brought up a good point before about if you do a used car inspection and you find something wrong, if you're buying it from a dealer, yes, you can go back and they can fix it. But if you're buying it from a private party, sometimes it's better to negotiate a better price so that you can get it fixed and you have the warranty on whatever that item is.
That is just a brilliant point.
Oh, stop.
And we're going to leave this show by saying, you know, I have just one thing to say to you.
What?
Why are your pants on your head?
Oh, you love that commercial.
That commercial. Stripes don't go to step in. You don't wear socks with your thongs and all that kind of stuff. It sounded like my mother.
Yeah.
I mean, my mother did that. You know what my mother never taught me is how to tie a tie.
I know.
And that's exactly the reason I never wear a tie.
There you go.
And the clip-on ones, you know, they always fall off. So I just, and I'm not going to learn how to tie a tie either.
I know.
Because Levi's and a collared shirt is all I need.
That's right.
As long as it's Levi's.
Way too old, huh?
Yeah, Levi's don't have grease on them. I went to dinner last night, and she goes, you can't wear those Levi's. Why? There's a grease spot on them. That grease spot's been on that knee for about 400 years. Anyway, I won.
You better do laundry better, dear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, I had to learn how to do laundry. You know, you don't want me to. You'll walk into the laundry room and find soap suds coming out of the top of the washer, you know.
I know.
By the thousands.
You're bad.
So, you know what? I'll fix your car. You do my laundry. How's that? Okay?
We'll see.
I'll take care of your car.
We'll
you do
see.
My laundry. I'll help you with your junkin', okay? And you do my laundry. What else can I say here?
Happy Memorial Day to everybody. And, drive safe.
And
wear your seatbelt.
Yep, and the veterans. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. So we'll be back next Saturday right here at 10 o'clock. See you then.